This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here's Christian on the left wing, skipped it in the corner. Vogel open, three, you got it, Drake Vogel. Turned over, picked up by Drake Vogel. Open, 4-3, yes.
Woo!
Drake Vogel cans the triple. Vogel open for three, you betcha, Drake Vogel with 17 points. Here comes Vogel pushing. Jump stop, gets to the rim, left hand, count it, and the foul. Woo! Maybe he was beaking everybody with those crutches yesterday. Drake comes across the timeline, leaves it for Blaine Stewart. He's caught on the sideline over there, bounces out of trouble, gives it back to Vogel. That's a deep three for Drake. Got it again, Drake Vogel with 24.
That other one was from the stage. I think that one was from the fourth row.
I've seen Drake Vogel fill it up a number of times in his career, but he is locked in tonight in this championship game.
He's open for a skip pass now.
Here's Jay Stewart. Vogel wanted it in the corner, didn't get it. They went the other way. Here's Helton on the left wing. He finds Drake. Here it goes. You betcha. Drake Vogel with 27. Way downtown. He got it again. Drake Vogel with 30. Might need to put six guys on Vogel. That might slow him down. He's got 30. That is deeper than the last. Got it again. Oh, baby. Drake Vogel is unconscious in the title game. He has 33, his seventh triple.
That one was from the volleyball spike line.
Wow. Drake gets it back to Christian near midcourt. He is trapped. He was falling back towards the timeline. Got it away to Jay Stewart. Vogel pulls for three. Got it again. Drake Vogel with 36.
And that's what it sounded like Thursday night in the Carthenville Holiday Tournament Championship as Hillsboro beat Litchfield 79-265 to bring home the title. And Tim Mize and Sean Bellent here on Sports Saturday. And Sean, one of the great individual performances I have seen, Drake Vogel sprained his ankle on the opening jump ball on Tuesday, missed Wednesday's game, was on crutches, comes in Thursday, and drops 36 in the championship game, tied a tournament record with eight threes. Wow.
It's good to know recuperative healing power is not wasted on the young.
Helps to be a teenager, doesn't it?
Unbelievable.
Obviously,
a lot of spirit and guts more than anything, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just one of the great individual performances you will see. And when a kid is hurt like that, there's no way to know how they're going to respond. Going out and gutting it out is one thing. Going out and dominating with that type of performance is something completely different. Not surprised because he's that type of kid, but man, when it actually happens, it gets your attention in a big, big way.
Well, that's just fun too. I mean, you know, we love team concept, we love balance, but there is something special about just watching a hot hand this is like the kind of game we're going to talk about 5 years from now.
No, that's exactly right.
That was special.
Sean, if I could get you to bring your microphone up a little bit, that would be fantastic. As Sean is still coming remotely with us today on New Year's Day 2022, and I hope everyone had a safe and happy new year. And, Sean, it was just great to be back at a holiday basketball tournament last week. And that championship night at Carthenville, they have the girls' championship at 6, the boys' championship follows at 7:30, and the big house on West Main in Carthenville lived up to its billing on Thursday night as we had a packed house for our championship games. And as great as that performance for Drake Vogel was, the crowd was such a big part of that with the energy. And that was, we just didn't get that last year in that COVID season. Just the energy, you could feel it from everybody. Everyone was just happy to be in the gym.
It's a beautiful thing. And you know, that gym is really a special place, and it's a special department over there and a special fan base. I mean, you picked the perfect location for the opening tote shootout. I mean, that's just a great, that's a great venue. Everything about it's great. And, again, that just kind of feels like the high school basketball I grew up with, in the AAA era in the 80s. That's awesome. Kind of gives you the chills.
It does. And, you know, Hillsboro-Litchfield boys for a championship, that doesn't happen very often. Kyle Hirschman, he's the county historian. He's on top of all of it. It was just the third time they had met for the holiday tournament championship there. And they've only met for a regional championship a handful of times. And I think Kyle said this was the 274th meeting between Hillsborough and Litchfield in boys basketball and in a championship setting. And for first year, Litchfield head coach Nick Gernt, he got baptism by fire in the Route 16 rivalry. His first experience, a championship on the line. And Sean, I'm telling you, Nick Gernt, he has Litchfield rolling the right direction.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. You know, the system starts to click. Kids buy in, and, you know, they could use a little excitement over there because, you know, it's time. It's time that they had a team that made some noise, you know, and I, you know, grew up watching, you know, some of those Purple Panther teams of the Gersh era. You know, it's every reason to have a great basketball program over there.
I remember years ago, I mean, the struggles for the Litchfield Athletics, you know, it's been well documented, primarily in football, but I remember being at a football game a number of years ago when they were starting to feel the numbers crunch and they knew that they were going to be running into some lean years, but they told me, our fourth graders are really good. And I thought, oh boy, that's a long way off. But these sophomores, those were those fourth graders, and they are really good. They don't have a senior on their roster.
I'll tell you, that is something. You know, you just you get a collection of kids who like to play together, and people say, look out. And it's like, oh, that's so far away. Are we there yet? and then we get to the parking lot of Disneyland, and the magic happens.
And so, I mean, the future for Litchfield, extremely bright. And on the Hillsborough side, of course, we all know what they did last year, basically returned everybody off the team except Jace Teakin. And I think, Sean, maybe we'll look back in a couple of months and say that week at Carthenville is when Hillsborough found their stride. Because you know how it goes. When you go into a year and you know that you're going to be good and everybody else knows that you're going to be good, you get everybody's best shot. And sometimes it takes a little adjustment period to get used to being that team that everybody circles.
Oh, no doubt about it. You kind of have to – it's really a change of attitude. I mean, you know, you come in as the new kid in school and the new car smell, and it's easy to make a splash. But all of a sudden when people look at you differently and bring their A game – you have to bring your A-plus game.
It was a fun week over at Carthenville. Hillsborough won the boys' title. Williamsville, in their first trip to the Carthenville Holiday Tournament, beat Greenfield Northwestern for the girls' title, 55-48. And this girls' tournament at Carthenville has been a strong, strong tournament for a number of years, and this year was no different. And for Williamsville, hey, if you're going to come down for the first time, might as well go home with the big trophy, and they did.
Yeah, you know, that's another school where, well, now we think of them as a football
right.
school, but they have a great, great basketball tradition. And they just, they continue to have great feeder programs, and, you know, they don't make a lot of noise, and then all of a sudden, you know, they show up, and it's like, wow, they've really got this thing together, and the Bullets are a handful.
There were some good games over there at Carthenville this week, and the best game of the tournament came in boys' pool play with Gillespie and Staunton. There wound up being three lead changes in the final 20 seconds, and Cameron Link for the Miners hit a three-pointer at the buzzer with three guys in his face, a walk-off triple, and the Gillespie bench went nuts. There wound up being a dog pile on the end of the floor, and it's just great whenever you see the high school kids get that type of moment, because they will never forget that.
Well, you know, you think of what they've lost, and it's easy to just kind of move on to the here and now. Who wants to think about, you know, in the past and some of the most bleak periods, but the games lost and the experiences, and you think about it, it's almost like everybody went on injured reserve, essentially. So those memories just kind of pop up a little brighter on the radar screen as you look ahead years and years, and you get together at high school reunions if they still do that 20 years from now. that's fun stuff to just soak in.
Nokomis got back in a holiday tournament this year. Of course, the Morrisonville tournament is no more. That was always Nokomis's one of their tournaments. But once that went away, they had an opening for a tournament, so they got into the field over at Vandalia. They won fifth place on a buzzer beater. Elijah Allman hit the game winner for Nokomis in that fifth place game as they beat Vandalia 53-51 in their return to holiday tournament play. Pena, they won the boys tournament at Vandalia, blew out top-seeded Macon Meridian in the championship. And then the Pena girls, they won the title over at Riverton. And, Sean, it's always interesting when you get in the same year. And it's not unique, but it's always fun when it happens, when the boys' team and the girls' team are both elite.
Yeah, you know, and again, a familiar theme I talked about, you know, that reminder, hey, yeah, we're known for our football program these days, but we're still a basketball school, too. And, yeah, you put three players on the all-tournament team over there at Pena, and to just go out there and make a statement, winning the title game by 25 darn points against those Meridian Hawks. A pretty proud program. Boy, that is, that's a heck of a statement. They just, you know, and you have to think, you know, the thing we talked about in the football season, speed has to be, brutal on the court in that transition game because, you know, they went out there 8-point lead right off the first quarter and, they just never got off the gas. They just kept pouring it on the whole way. You know, 25 more points in the third quarter. I mean, they're relentless.
You know, Sean, Terry Tote would always talk about certain coaching staffs. They have two number ones. And what he meant was, well, they got their head varsity coach, but the assistant coach used to be a varsity coach. And Pena has that. You know, Adam Metzger, one of the best young coaches probably in the entire state. But Gary Boker Jr. is now back on the staff assisting. Of course, he was the longtime head coach at Pena, took him to the state tournament the first part of this century. But when you've got two guys with that type of knowledge on the bench, I mean, you can't overstate how huge that is.
I'm telling you, it's beautiful to have layers and, again, be able to split up the game. You know, it's like you can focus on one thing. And again, it's almost like, you know, you're getting kids to buy in. It's also for them, it's like, you know, when you go to the doctor for a second opinion, it's like, okay, coaches are telling me the same thing. I guess I do need to work on this or work on that. It's just, you know, and I think the kids are going to respect that experience too. And yeah, it's just like some of these great programs. And you see some of these football programs. I hate to constantly talk about the basketball football connection, but you get three assistant coaches who were varsity coaches at one point. I've certainly seen that in action, and that's just powerful stuff. And you know, we think about it in football and drawing up X's and O's, but, man, it certainly can apply to basketball because it is multiple games. It's not as obvious with offense, defense, and special teams, but it really does break down kind of the same way.
He's Sean Bellent. I'm Tim Mize. This is Sports Saturday. We need to get to our first break here of the day. When we come back, you know, the holiday tournaments are in the rearview mirror, but coming up in the middle part of the January, one of the premier in-season tournaments, the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational at Litchfield. The seeds and the pairings are out. We will talk about the McGraw Memorial Invitational when Sports Saturday continues. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday. Hope everyone had a safe and happy new year. And Tim Mize along with Sean Belinton. Sean, I was in bed by, I think, like 8:52. Last night. I'm such an old man, I tell you what.
Well, you've had a heck of a week.
Well, that is true, but the 20-year-old me wouldn't have let that stop me, Sean. 40-year-old me is like, I better get the shut-eye.
You know, the police are still looking for the 20-year-old me. He's been missing. I think he's been missing since I was, I don't know. I mean, I guess my behavior is like a 20-year-old sometimes, but...
I think that's probably true for all of us.
Yeah, I have been like a bad combination of 18-year-old me and 95-year-old me. I don't know if I'll make it to 95, but, you know, it's like...
Yeah, that's an interesting combination there. You get into all sorts of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of fun this weekend. Just a minute, I'll be right...
You know, Sean, the mid-season basketball tournaments are always... so much fun. There's so many good ones around the state. And the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational is at the top of the list. It gives you the nice mix of the bigger schools and the smaller schools. And they start in pool play, but then move it into bracketed play. And Terry would always say, it's not a tournament if there's no bracket. And when the way they do this, it really lends itself to competitive games throughout with the seeding into pool play and then coming out into bracket play. Once we get into the bracketed portion of the tournament, whether you're in the gold, silver, or bronze bracket, there's always competitive games because the tournament gets seeded properly and you get good quality matchups throughout.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, it just sets things up beautifully. And you know, even that process is fun. I just think it gets people interested and excited. And then people already just kind of, you know, the interest, it just builds interest. I mean, just like, you know, at the office, there's just something magical about that bracket.
Yeah, it's true.
You picture the path. You start dreaming, okay, if they get past these guys, if these guys spring an upset or, you know, I just think it's one of the things now that sports fans really latch on to.
That's the beauty of being, you know, a fan or in the media. We get the luxury of looking ahead and doing those types of things. The coaches obviously have to take it one game at a time. And, you know, this was the Litchfield Invitational for years. I think this might be the third year that it's been the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. Nobody did more for Litchfield, the city of Litchfield as a whole, and Litchfield Athletics specifically than Rick McGraw.
You know, he's really something, and I know UIS Sports isn't exactly going to, you know, spark any memories, but I was involved in, like, UIS basketball and the efforts to get the programs going up there at the University of Illinois Springfield. And who rose to the occasion? Who came to help them? And really, there wasn't a lot of business benefit. And again, that's what tells you about Mr. McGraw. There wasn't going to be like some all of a sudden, hey, they support UIS basketball, we're going to flood into the McDonald's restaurants in town. No, it didn't work like that. He really propped them up. And you know what? When Rick McGraw got involved, others followed. That's the other beauty of the involvement of the late, great Rick McGraw.
Oh, that's exactly right there. So the tournament will get underway, what, two Saturdays from now, January 15th, and they've got four pools, and Mattoon will be the top seed here. They're in Pool A. Payne is the top seed in Pool B. They're the number two overall seed. Pool C has Triad as the top seed. They're the number three. And in Pool D, Gateway Legacy is the four seed. Now, in with Pena in Pool B, you have Taylorville, the 7 seed, Litchfield, the 10 seed. In Pool C with Triad, Nokomis is seeded 6th, Civic Memorial is seeded 11th. In Pool D with Legacy, you have number 5, Hillsboro, and number 11, Ramsey. And then in Pool A with Mattoon, you have number 8, Greenville, and number 9, Father McGivney. But Sean, we were talking about earlier, that is just a beautiful blend of, you know, 3A schools and 2A schools.
Oh, it really is. I mean, it's such a, you know, the 3A, the 2A, and it's, you know, it's a great mix of, you know, familiar rivals. And, you know, you got to have some strangers you meet along the way, some teams you don't meet all that often. So I think it's a good mix of, you know, matchups we've seen, matchups you don't see.
And, you know, the coaches obviously do a great job of seeding this tournament year in, year out. But I just wonder, if they seeded it today, don't you think Payne would get the one?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, especially they have shown what a team they can be at tourney time. They seem to bounce back. You know, hey, we need you to play a couple games today. No problem. I mean, you know, back-to-back Vandalia tourneys, even though I guess, what, a year off in 2020, and they won in Vandalia by 33, and they just crushed Meridian. So, yeah, I have to think they'd move up the ladder if we did a reboot.
So I wrote down the wrong seed for Ramsey. They are the 12 seed. It's a great tournament, but they don't have two 11 seeds. That would be a little different. So Ramsey is the 12 seed. But I always love this tournament. The hospitality room, by the way, there is as good as you will find in terms of hospitality rooms. And I know people get annoyed when folks in the media start talking about hospitality rooms. Like, come on, we don't care. I'm just telling you, it's really, really good. They had The other year, year before last time they had it, they had make your own McRibs. And let me tell you, Sean, that was to me like Christmas morning. Truly delicious.
Merry Christmas, Mary. We've got McRibs.
Yes, who needs a turkey? Give me the McRib on Christmas for lunch, and I will be...
Have a McRib, Mr. Potter. You know, I'll tell you what, and the thing is, you know, like you said, people picture, like, oh, they're talking about the hospitality rooms and the VIP experience. But, you know, the great thing about the hospitality room is it's one of those things that's going to keep, you know, the scorekeepers, makes them feel appreciated.
That's right.
The officials. And when you talk about trying to get enough people to work these games, it isn't just some kind of cushy thing for the media or guys calling the games. I mean, that to me is the most important thing. It's just those guys feel appreciated. It's a place for them to socialize. And then they want to do other tournaments. You know, when you try to get a new generation of guys and gals to do this stuff, I mean, it certainly plays a nice role. And you bring a little home cooking and McRibs,
a little legal bribery,
it helps.
I'm just happy they let media people in there, because you're exactly right. The hospitality room is for the great volunteers who work the event, and then obviously for the coaches. And when you have a hospitality room, it is kind of an extension of the tournament, right? Because coaches talk. Mm-hmm. They go back to their home areas. Like, man, if you ever get a chance, you got to go to that event because they treat you right. And that's how it works at the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. These teams know when they commit to come in to Litchfield for that week, they're going to be treated top flight.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. It's special. And again, it makes it easier. You know, the nice thing, as a nervous athletic director trying to set these things up, you get the commitments a little earlier, and, you know, you kind of move up on the priority scale. That's a beautiful thing. And you bring the best officials as a result, too. You don't just get officials.
That's right.
You get the best officials, best scorekeepers, and they bring their A game. It's a beautiful thing. The most interesting thing is, well, if you say a guy blew the call, and then you see him later in the hospitality room.
That's exactly right. You sit down and just have a nice conversation. That's exactly right. And hats off to Dan Stewart, first year AD, first year he's running this event as the athletic director, and he'll do a fantastic job. There's no doubt about that. So the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational will be January 15th through the 22nd. We need to get to another break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about all the hubbub around the shot clock. A lot of people want a shot clock in high school basketball in Illinois. We'll talk about that when Sports Saturday continues. And welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday here on this New Year's Day 2022. And, Sean, of course, there's been some changes to the state tournament. It's going to be great. Well, I should say, fingers crossed that we get to have the state tournament this year, right, with the way things might be trending here over the next few weeks. But you know, when the state tournament was canceled last year, it was just so painful for so many people. But when we get back to it, we're going to have all four classes going at the same time, and we're going to have four championship games lined up in the same session. And that, to me, is going to be fantastic. I thought that was one of the mistakes they made when they went to the four-class system initially, was not having a championship session where you have your 1A game, your 2A title game, back-to-back in the evening session. You know, they kept the classes separate and would have the 1A title game in the afternoon, the 3A title game in the afternoon. I always thought that was a mistake. Like we saw at Carlinville, give me back-to-back championship games, and the atmosphere in the building is electric, and that's what we're going to have. I don't think it starts this year. I think it's next year. I've lost track of all sorts of time with all this COVID stuff. But to get four championship games in a row is going to be a thing of absolute beauty.
My friend, you're spot on, because I'm telling you, I went up to a couple of state tournaments, and there to have 3 hours of malaise, and that's what it was, 3 hours of you know, for a big part of the crowd. That just was, you know, it might have seemed nice and convenient for the participants, but it did. It was a big energy drain. And, this is the way, you know, when Art Kimball ruled the roost, that It's just common sense that you bring championship material back to back. You don't want to, You don't want to throw an opening act in the middle of two headliners.
Right. And there's not, this isn't really a smooth transition to it, but, you know, talk about changes, and changes always come. That's just part of sports. If you're not evolving, you're falling behind. And the new conversation now really is a shot clock in high school basketball in the state of Illinois. And everybody's going to have their own thoughts and their own opinions. My thought on it personally, for our area and, you know, the small schools that we cover, I don't see a shot clock helping the game of basketball at the high school level one bit. Now, if you're talking about, you know, the elite like the Chicago Public League and those, you know, those types of venues, sure, maybe the shot clock can really have some value there. But for small school basketball, I just don't see the value of a shot clock. I don't think it improves the game at all. I mean, you watch some of these games now and teams struggle to get a good quality shot. You put a clock on them, that's not going to improve one bit.
You know, I get it, you know, that basketball now it kind of at the higher levels revolves around meeting the shot clock. I certainly can appreciate that. But and let's talk about the practicality, the logistics. You know, we talked about the shortage of officials. Part of, you know, yeah, and we think of people don't want to volunteer anymore. Well, as you know, sports, it's a little deeper than that. There's the stress aspect. And you have to think maintaining a shot clock would be stressful. And finding people who would want – it's not just taking away your Tuesday or Friday night, but it's an awesome responsibility. And if something goes wrong, you're out there in front of, you know, God and everybody out there in the stands. Everybody's looking at you like you don't know what you're doing. And you think, you know what, I don't want to do this next year. So I think that's – you know, some of these programs where they're pretty lean, I think that's pretty tough to ask, especially some of the 1A schools.
You're exactly right, and I've seen people try to make the comparison to football, and it's an apples and oranges comparison to me to say, well, you know, they never have trouble getting the play clock operator for football. Well, I saw Sean Swank over the weekend at Cronville. He said, that's not true. He's like, I remember I've had to keep the play clock plenty of times on the field because they couldn't get somebody. But football, you're talking one night a week, four, maybe five times a year. Friday night, it's a lot easier to find somebody to want to do that than Monday, Tuesday, could be Thursday, could be Friday, might be Saturday. And in the dead of winter, it's just a different animal in terms of, like you were saying, getting the people to do it. It's just one more headache, and people might not like that argument. That's fine, but it doesn't improve the game. It's like when there's the foul. Was there an advantage gain? If there's no advantage gain, we play on. What's the advantage for having the shot clock? People they don't like the stall game. Okay, you know how you counter the stall game? Come out and pressure them. I remember going as a kid, you know, high school, whatever, watching those classic Edwardsville Alton games when Mike Waldo was with Edwardsville. And he would run, he'd get four corners to start the ball game. And even Edwardsville fans up in the crowd, they're crowing, oh, come on, let's play basketball. Go out and get them. Go out and get them. You know?
Yeah, I get some of the concerns, but yeah, you're right. I had seen one of those games, and it was a regular season game against, you know, a pretty decent opponent comes into town, and old Dave Lichtenfeld at Oakville comes in, and the longtime state senator, and you know, right off the bat, they had a 6 minute possession in the first quarter. I thought, this is painful, this is brutal, but I think it's so rare.
That's right.
I just don't think, you know, unless if you run into it, you know, every second or third game, I just don't know. And you know, and you talked about the shot clock, and I hate to be Mr. Connect Football to Basketball all morning long, but you know, like the big difference, you know, when we talk about football, other than program insiders, most people don't know where the play clock guy is up in the press box. If you're the shot clock guy in basketball, everyone knows who you are, and they're looking at you, whether they're in the gym for the first time or whatever. But, you know, as you mentioned, though, the play clock guy in football, that is a tough get because the coaches are yelling at you. And usually that is one of the most temperamental things, you know, when one of the most stressful things for the coaches, the play clock guy in a tense game. So, yeah, you're getting it from the coaches, the fans.
And, you know, Sean, even when if you watch a college game or an NBA game, how many times is the shot clock not even working?
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's another investment. I mean, it would be good for the folks over in Greenville.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, they're for it. Yes.
It'd be a nice day for NEPCO there, but, you know, I hate to ruin some economic development in Bond County, but, son of a gun. I just think, you know, and again, some schools have a great staff of scorekeepers. You know, that's changed so much. You know, like, I remember my going through the, Westland program, and I hate to bring them up because they're very, you know, semi relevant. But, they had this great program, won the 1990 state title. And we had old Walt Spielman drove the bus, took score, and he did it for like 30 years. Yeah. How often are you going to run into that? Especially now that, you get school districts that really don't want to mess with people after they retire. In some cases, you know, it's just, you know, you're going to have some more turnover as far as those scorekeepers and officials and everything. So I don't know. And like you said, trying to do it smoothly.
Right. And if it's going to be a statewide thing, I mean, it would have to be, you know, it couldn't be just in some areas and not in some other areas. If you're doing it, you have to do it across the board. And I only speak from my perspective as a guy who sees 1A and 2A basketball. In my opinion, it doesn't help 1A and 2A basketball one bit. Is there some benefit to it in 3A and 4A? Perhaps there is. But when, you know, if, as the state association, if you're making a blanket policy, I think the downside for small schools is greater with a shot clock than the upside for big schools with a shot clock.
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree with you there. It's a completely different brand of basketball. And certainly, I think we enjoy that brand of basketball.
Love it.
And again, if you were, I'm not trying to water things down or dumb things down or be Mr. Participant Trophy, but if you get a kid who doesn't really enjoy that kind of basketball, run, gun, shoot, and you kind of take a, you know, when you put kids where they get just kind of pass, shoot, and that's not a kid's cup of tea, then maybe you have participation issues. I mean, I don't think it's going to kill rosters if you have a shot clock.
Well, Sean,
I think sometimes that player interest maybe comes down a little bit.
To that point, though, you could make the case that the bigger schools, you know, they do play faster. Do they need a shot clock? Is the shot clock even going to come into play? When you play that faster pace, you're getting up and down. You're getting the shot up anyway. So, you know, if the shot clock's just resetting after 20 seconds, then what's the point? And a lot of it's end of game. I get it. A lot of it's end of game, and they don't like it, that you have to start fouling, this and that. That, to me, that's part of the strategy of high school basketball is, when do I start to foul? How long do I try to play for a steal? That's how I see it.
Yeah, you know what? I mentioned that 5-minute possession earlier. If you try a 5-minute possession in the Chicago Public League, the police are going to be called. That game's not going to wrap up. I'm not even joking. I mean, the place would go nuts. They'd be at each other's. I mean, those games are intense in the stands.
Yeah.
I mean,
and how many
everybody
times
in the stands
is
as intense as a coach.
How many times do you see it in, like, around here where it'd be at the end of a quarter? Like, say there's 80 seconds left in the quarter and a team will try to hold for the final shot. You know what happens 80 to 90% of the time when a team tries to hold the ball for 80 seconds at the end of a quarter? They turn it over.
Yeah. Yeah, the pressure cooker.
Yep.
Reaches the boiling point and, just great defense gets it done. I'm totally with you. And not to, you know, be Joe Doomsday scenario, but let's look at the other scenario. And again, I hate to bring football into it, but, which I've done 18 times this morning.
But I don't mean to disrespect you, but with all due respect.
Yeah, with the play clock in football. Okay, it's not ideal for all parties involved, but usually, you know, a lot of times, if you even have a play clock visible, it's on one side of the field, not on both sides of the field. So guys are kind of accustomed to trying to have an internal clock or whatever. There's a scenario there if you have a problem with a play clock at a facility. But if you have a shot clock and you have a technical problem, a power problem, or let's just say you have a lower, you go for the economic model and a guy fires a brick too hard and you don't have a shot clock, what do you do? I mean, do you just shut down the game? That's the other problem.
Right, that is the other problem. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out. And I get the sense that it's like, well, like everything in America now, I think it's about 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested. It would, it would be something if you just, maybe you can do a tournament. You could, I don't know. Of course
test
you
it out.
And have a tournament long, but I don't know. I don't know if you could experiment within a tournament or not, but, that to me is like the only scenario. If you wanted to really, you really were just insistent on trying out a shot clock, let's have maybe a little experimentation and see how it works.
Right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, of course, Hillsborough won the Carlinville Holiday Tournament Championship on Thursday night. After the game, of course, we talked to some of the Victoria Stoppers and head coach Kyle McBrain. We'll bring you that interview. I'm not in the business, Sean, of trying to get a hold of the coaches on New Year's Day. Hey, would you like to do an interview at 9 a.m. on New Year's Day? No, I would not.
Yeah, I mean, it's, especially getting in these tournaments, coaching two games a day, and then it's just kind of that dreary, gloomy, New Year's Day. Yeah, I think
it's like,
what,
you don't want to do an interview on Christmas morning? Why not? Come on. What's going on?
And as far as I know, Frank Caliendo is not impersonating local high school coaches. So.
Ooh, that would be something, though. That'd be a quality bit. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back in a moment. We are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Tim Mize and Sean Valent with you. And Fighting Illini basketball change as they will not be playing tomorrow with Minnesota. That game pushed back till Tuesday. So Illinois at Minnesota Tuesday, 5 o'clock pregame on 105.3 The Oxen. Sean, we alluded to it earlier. Hopefully, postseason-wise for high school, everything goes off without a hitch here in a couple of months. But, boy, college athletics having all sorts of issues here recently.
I mean, you know, these bowl games have been dropping like flies. And
which is fine by me.
Yeah.
There's too many of them anyway.
Boy, I'm telling you. It's hard for me to relate sometimes to young Sean because young Sean couldn't get enough of bowl games and the Blue Bonnet Bowl and the Weed Eater Bowl and the Garden State Bowl, yada, yada, yada. And the thought of, what are you up to? You want to watch the Pinstripe Bowl at a sports bar? I think I'm going to get a dental appointment that day. it's all a little much. And, of course, you know, the playoff system's kind of made that less interesting. But, yeah,
right.
College, I mean.
And well, now we're seeing, Sean, you know, NFL prospects. If it's not the playoffs, I'm not playing. I don't blame them.
You know what? My opinion on that certainly changed over the years. I mean, when you think of a guy getting hurt in a bowl game and all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden the riches are gone. You didn't have a Lloyd's of London policy. I don't know how you live like I.
That dude from Notre Dame a few years ago, was it Jalen Smith? I think he got hurt in the Fiesta Bowl and it tanked his draft stock. I mean, he still made it into the league, but he wasn't a number one draft pick like he would have been. Lots of money that he didn't get.
You know, and I kind of cringe even with high school all-star games. And
right.
I only remember it because there was I think they're great. I don't think there's any reason to be scared of them, but there was a kid, you know, I think he was either the top or second rated running back in high school and in the country, and he rejected Michigan, Ohio State, and he goes to Mizzou, was going to be this transformative guy, Tony Van Zandt, and he got hurt in a high school all-star game. It's like, oh, man, ruined his knee. And I don't know how you get through life when you get messed up in a bowl game or one of those games and you know you had the talent to be elite at the next level.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that.
And you're sitting there like, how am I going to pay the heat bill? You know,
right, for real.
You know, I should be in like you know, some nice subdivision somewhere with a vacation house somewhere. But instead, yikes.
Yeah, no, 100%. So we will have the national championship game coming up on the 10th, Alabama and Georgia. We can talk about that later. But on Thursday night at the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament, Hillsboro beat their rivals from Litchfield to claim the championship. But, Sean, always one of the great things that I enjoy when we do a tournament is after the tournament, talking to the winning kids and the coaches, but primarily the kids. It's always fun to get their perspective on a championship. And we had that privilege and honor on Thursday night as Hillsboro won. And Blaze Helton was the first young man to make his way up. Blaze Helton has joined us. And, Blaze, how did that feel, man?
It felt amazing. I ain't even going to lie. You know, coming to the game, there was a lot of hype because we got the two Litchfield kids. And, you know, and I'm not even going to lie, there's probably more Litchfield fans here than there was Hillsboro.
It seemed like it.
Yeah, it was loud. It was bumping in here for sure. We just had to keep our composure and go out there, do a dub, and do what we always do.
How much fun is it to play in front of a crowd like this in an environment like this?
Oh, it's awesome. I love it. You know, football, baseball, whatever, I love the crowd. I love the atmosphere.
Well, I made the comment in the first half. Blaze knows where the weight room at Hillsboro's at.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm in there every once in a while. I'm dealing with a little banged up shoulder, so I haven't been in there for a little bit. But, you know, just got to keep working.
Your first half tonight, Blaze, you had 13 points, but you and Gavin on the inside, just talk about your mentality when the ball goes up for a rebound.
Oh, yeah, I just feel like we have more size down there. That was our game plan. You know, me and Gav talked about it. We talked about it before the game with the coaches. It was to get inside, hit the boards hard, and because we know we could out-rebound them. We're bigger than them. So we worked as hard as we could down there, got a couple put-back points, and got us the game, I guess.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
That is Blaze Helton of the Champion Toppers, and Gavin Matusha is going to come over and take the headset. And, of course, Gavin has some college choices now. He's going to choose between like West Point and the Naval Academy and Air Force. Gavin, just incredible, and you're obviously going to have an incredibly bright future well beyond high school, but you'll remember this night for a long, long time.
Yes, I will. Very indeed. This is a very high point in my high school career so far for basketball.
You are so tenacious on the inside. Talk to me about your work ethic. Where in the world does that come from?
Oh, well, it's just been ingrained in me from a very young age. My parents have always told me to give everything I have out on the court, and I still carry that to this day.
You know, it's interesting. Everybody knows your sister, Sammy, all that she did. And in some ways, you probably grew up in her shadow, but you watched her every step of the way, and I know she's super proud of you tonight.
Yeah, my sister's a big mentor to me. She's given me a bunch of advice throughout my career, and it's helped me become the player I am today.
Gavin, yeah, I've talked about this with you before. I thought you blew your knee out last year, or it was this calendar year. I thought, man, his senior year is going to be toasted. An incredible recovery. So just for you, you have to have just all these different emotions going through right now, correct?
Yes, it is. I was very worried at the end of last season. I thought I completely blew my knee out. Luckily, I was able to make a recovery, and I haven't missed many sports except a few games in soccer last season.
Unbelievable. And I was talking to Blaze about the rebounding, and I don't know how, I don't keep track of rebounds, but you're a walking double-double. Talk to me just about what your process is when you're going for that rebound.
Well, it's pretty much I see the ball, try to read it off the rim, and then go get it. That's pretty much it.
And you have the ability also, though, around the rim to finish with either hand, and it doesn't just happen. You put in the work.
Yes, I do. I spend multiple hours every day. Before every game, I spend at least an hour trying to get my shot right in the gym and everything before I come to the game.
What can you say about this kid over here?
He's a great player. He can shoot the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
Very well.
I would say so. Gavin, congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Drake Vogel's made his way up. I was hoping you were going to come up here, Jake. I thought you were going to big league me for a second and not come up here. Just put that on right there. 36 points, tournament record, 8 threes. Talk to me about the emotion of the day. I thought there's no way you're going to play.
Honestly, I didn't think I was going to play. I woke up this morning, could hardly walk, but then I iced it all day, and then I called coach, and I was like, hey, I'm going to see what I can do if I tape it up, and then I came out and just played a good game.
Yeah, I would say you played a good game for sure.
That's probably my best shooting game. I've been struggling shooting the ball this year, too.
I saw you last year in Nokomis drop 38. This was a better game than that. Talk to me about the intensity in that game. That was a good one.
In the Nokomis one?
No, in this one.
This one, yeah. I mean, the fans were loud. I mean, I like that stuff. Like, that just thrives me. I like when people vote against me and stuff. That just drives me.
And I suspect that when your teammates found out, wait a minute, Drake's going to play, that had to supply them with a little extra energy.
They all texted in our group chat, and they asked if I was going to play, and I was like, no. And I didn't even tell them until we got to the shoot-around. They were all like, why do you got your bag? I was like, I'm going to try to play, dude.
It's a good thing you did, man. 36 points tonight, but I know you're more happy about the championship.
Absolutely.
Talk to me, what was the feeling? I saw you threw that ball up in the air, just the emotions after that final horn went off.
I don't know how long it's been since we won this tournament, but last year we didn't have the opportunity, you know, like we went 14-0, but we didn't have the opportunity to go win a tournament or win a regional or anything, so it felt good pretty much to do that.
And it has to be special in your senior year. You mentioned last year was so different, but to get the full experience now of your senior year with these tournaments, and now you get postseason as well.
Absolutely. I'm ready for postseason, to be honest, but I don't want the year to end.
It's going to go fast. Enjoy it.
Yep.
Go ice that ankle.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Congratulations, Drake.
Thank you.
That is Drake Vogel, 36 points tonight, hits 8 threes in the championship game. We'll get Kyle McBrain over here now as he gets a nice head rub from his lead dog, Drake Vogel. And, Kyle, I saw you in the hospitality room before the ball game. I had gotten a text from our ag director, Gabe Osborne, who's related to Drake. He said, rumor is Drake's going to play. I thought, holy crap, Drake's going to play? And I go in and I see you. I said, rumor is Drake's going to play. You were like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, this is a problem. You have too many hookups and people that leak information. So, no. As of this morning, I didn't think he was going to play. And then, you know, I kind of talked to his dad, and his dad also didn't sound like he was going to be playing. And then about 3 o'clock, my phone rings and it's Drake Vogel, and I'm like, hey man, what's up? And he's like, well, I've been doing defensive slides in my bedroom, I think I can play. So that's kind of where it started. And then we taped him up at shoot around and wow. I expected him to play and play hard, but 36 and what do you have, 8 threes?
8 threes.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. But yeah, and then on the other side, McGill, man, what a player he was. So those guys put on a show tonight.
Kyle, you mentioned to me after Drake had gotten hurt yesterday when he wasn't going to play, you said, maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise for us. And watching your team play yesterday without Drake, it did seem to me that they found something.
Yeah, I think any time a guy goes down and guys get an opportunity to step up and get some big minutes, and Wood River gave us a heck of a game at the end yesterday, and you know, for them to get moments in crunch time, that's big for them, not only this year but down the road as well. So I'm proud of how our team's coming together. They came in with high expectations, and I think some of them were kind of looking at it like we were letting people down, but you know, this thing's a process, and that's the best part of it, is you get a chance to go throughout the season and grow together as a team. And like I said, I couldn't be more proud of the guys.
The spring was a sprint. This is the typical marathon. And when you're in a long season, early struggles can really be a good thing. And I think that's the case for you guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we lost some close ones early to teams that, you know, maybe down the road we either beat or they're a little bit closer games. But, if we sneak those wins out, maybe we don't learn those lessons. So, you know, it's all part of it. And the boys are learning. You got to go out and compete every night. And it's fun. It's a blast. I love it. This has been a great tournament. Darren does an awesome job here. What a great guy.
The last time Litchfield and Hillsborough played in the championship game, you were on the floor for Hillsborough. How does it feel now, as the head coach for your alma mater, to have the championship?
It does feel good. It's kind of one of those things, as a coach, I don't know, it just feels like so much more. I don't know. You get to see the kids go through the ups and downs, and it's not just about you. And I don't know. It's awesome.
This type of situation, it's what high school coaching is about, right? Seeing kids respond, get an opportunity, come through, and then just the pure joy at the end of it all.
Oh, no doubt. Again, I think it's just part of us growing together, and kids are down there laughing at me and giving hand signals. No. No, we got a good group of kids. We're just learning to gel, and hopefully we can get ready for that stretch run going into the postseason.
You know, obviously we talk about Drake Vogel, 36 points, spectacular, but Gavin Matush, Blaze Helton on the inside, what a job.
Oh, man, they're beasts. I don't even know how many points they ended up with, but what did Gavin have, 19?
He had 19 and Blaze had 14.
Yeah.
But 13 each in the first half.
13 each in the first, wow. Yeah, no, they and Litchfield's scrappy, man. You get the ball in the paint, there's three or four guys coming from you. And you know, we talked to Gavin Blaze before the game. These guys are going to come at you hard as soon as that ball gets in there. So for those guys to battle through and be able to score through that, it was really impressive.
And maybe the unsung hero for your team tonight, Will Christian. 6 points, forget about those. His defense tonight was spectacular.
No doubt. He was working so hard that in the fourth quarter, I took him out. And I tell Will sometimes, I'm like, dude, you got to let me know when I can take you out or when you want to come out, because if not, I'm not going to. He is the glue that holds it all together defensively. He's the kid that honestly does not care. If he scores zero and he takes care of the ball and he plays good defense and we win, it's not like him just saying that. He means it. Like, he does not – he's a winner. I'll tell you what, I'm trying my hardest to talk him into playing baseball in the spring. It's not working. He's a soccer guy. But, I mean, those are just kids that you want to be around, and it's been awesome to get to know him.
You know, Kyle, you were obviously hired for the basketball job late. But being the baseball coach last year, you had the relationships already.
Yeah, we – you know, I was able to get to know Gavin and Drake and Declan and Blaze and a handful of guys, but it was nice to have those relationships already established, but getting to know even more guys and getting to know their families and stuff like that, it's just been awesome. Because when you're away for 11-12 years and you come back, it's almost like starting over in your hometown. You know,
right.
You have some connections, but you know, a lot of these guys I didn't know their families, so it's been awesome.
Special, man. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
That is Kyle McBrain, the head coach of the Hilltoppers. You heard from Blaze Helton, Gavin Matush, and Drake Vogel as well. But, Sean, just a bunch of good quality dudes.
And, again, it's one of the, I think, the things that's really improved so much in what you do in the last third of a century. I think from the time I was in high school to the time you're in high school, kids were, you know, better interview subjects. I mean, it used to be like, okay, what's this grown-up going to ask me? And it came a long way, and now it's just reached a new level. The comfort level that they have and the charisma and, you know, they're just used to, I guess, putting YouTubes together and everything.
Yeah, right.
It's just a whole different era, and I think it makes, you know, there were some post-game shows that were pretty painful to listen to. Yeah, we... You know, I don't want to say anything that upsets the coach. We just did our game plan and we scored one. We're happy. Okay, I'm going to shut up now. It's so different. It's so refreshing.
Yeah, love the personalities. And it is. That's one of the joys of my job is getting to talk to those kids in that setting, because it's the joy of the moment. And, you know, they can finally relax, right? Because you knew Hillsborough went into that tournament. They were supposed to win. Everybody expected them to win. And so when you finally do win, you let it all out.
Yeah, that sense of relief. We passed another test. We got it done.
It'll be interesting to see, Sean, what Hillsborough does in the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. You know, they'll be the 5 seed in the pool with Gateway, Legacy, and Ramsey. And I know Legacy's the 4 and Hillsborough's the 5, but, I mean, I'm putting my money on the Toppers coming out of that pool.
Yeah, I think they've got a pretty good road. And I just, to me, these are some great, interesting games. And, I mean, you got to love it when you get rivalries to just kind of land together, like Taylorville and Pena, the battle of East versus West in Christian County. And, you know, it will be interesting to see what that – it's been a while since I've seen the Mattoon folks. Seeing what the green wave can do.
Yep.
So looking forward to that.
Going to be a fun week of basketball coming up January 15th through the 22nd at the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. But congratulations to Hillsborough on their Carlinville Holiday tournament championship. Sean, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk again next week.
I will, my friend.
All right, that is Sean Berlin. I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Brought to you by Bruce Webb Insurance at Farmersville and Raymond. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Call 324-2400. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. By Prairie Farms Dairy in Carthenville, taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Huff & Sons Funeral Home in Raymond, Hillsboro, and Farmersville. By Mark Stierman, your State Farm agent in Litchfield. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Prairie Town Feed Service, they're serious about their service. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair, see Dwayne Garrell, doing it right since 1982. By Woods Basement Systems. By Litchfield National Bank, the friendly bank, with three locations to serve you. By your shelter insurance agent, John Blank. See John at 300 South State Street in Litchfield. By Montgomery Nursing and Rehab in Taylor Springs. By Mike Belovich, your REMAX agent in Macoupin and Montgomery County. By Hiller Sheet Metal, your American-made York Heating and Cooling dealer in Hillsboro. By Jessica Chapelier, your country financial agent in Hillsboro. And by Fleming Tofaw and Company. We will talk to you next week on Sports Saturday. You can always find our broadcast schedule and podcasts at WQSMIRadio.com.